So the author in Proverbs, from Proverbs we hear wisdom say, "Come, eat my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live, and advance in the way of understanding." So we who are simple and lack understanding can find wisdom in the mixing of the food and drink wisdom has provided us. Who can miss this obvious reference to the Eucharist? We, who are in such desperate need of wisdom sometimes, are being guided today to look at the Eucharist in possibly a new way. The Gospel of John tells us in the beginning that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. In the final part of the Bread of Life discourse, which we proclaim today, Christ, the embodiment of wisdom and word, of light and life, tells us, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." So while the author in Proverbs is offering us a symbolic vision, which will lead us to a deeper understanding of God by the mixing of wine and food laid out in a banquet in a mansion with seven columns, Jesus, our Redeemer, is challenging us to the point that he says, if we don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we do not have life within us. Now clearly, since there are people who don't partake in the Eucharist and they are still alive, what could be meant by that? Well, I think that we know people who are alive in the sense of not being dead. But we would say that they do not have life within them. They seem to have no hope for the future, no joy, and they are full of fear. And notice Jesus doesn't talk about an ordinary life, but uses terms like living forever, eternal life, life within us, and life of the world. And maybe we hear these words so often, they lose their meaning. They become ho-hum. Or perhaps we don't even believe them. Or we don't think that they apply to us. So let's look at that a little bit. You know, clearly when Jesus said, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life," he can be referring to eternity or living with him in heaven forever. The Catechism looks at eternal life in this way. By death, the soul is separated from the body. But in the resurrection, God will give incorruptible life to our body, transformed by reunion with our soul. Transformed by the reunion with our soul. Stop. Just as Christ is risen and lives forever, so all of us will rise at the last day. And for some of us, this view of eternal life provides enough meaning as it is. But in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Pauline letters, eternal life is generally regarded as a future experience. But the Gospel of John differs from them in its emphasis on eternal life as a present possession, as a now experience. Father Ray Brown points out that in the Synoptic Gospels, eternal life is received at something at the final judgment, a future age. But the Gospel of John positions eternal life as a present possibility. It means that the kingdom of God that Jesus speaks of is present now. It began when Jesus came to us in the flesh. Pope Benedict referred to it in his book, In Jesus of Nazareth. In that book, he says, "The kingdom of God is realized in Jesus' coming." It is thus perfectly possible to speak of an eschatology in the process of being realized or of realization, or simply end times in the process of coming true. Perfect, but not yet. It's sort of one of those both-and propositions, this vision of eternal life. But it's a second vision that captures my imagination. It's something I think we can use in our lives today. So how does it help us? By making my entrance into the kingdom of God a current event, it makes the time between my actions and the heavenly consequences much closer. It means that our actions today really do build up the kingdom of God today and not some future place in time. It also makes Jesus closer to us, makes Jesus' words, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life," has even more meaning. It means that my fully partaking in the Eucharist brings me into the kingdom of God at that moment. But the effect of the Eucharist is also long-lasting, for that is what Jesus means when he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. For his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink." And just like ordinary food, the effects of true food and drink last long past the initial partaking of the meal. However, just like the Jews, these words challenge us and provoke us to think about what Christ's words mean to us. Many of the Jews at the time abandoned Jesus at this time. They could not accept that he meant what he said. Eat his flesh? Drink his blood? You know, that was just anathema to the Jews of that time. Some of our Christian brothers still levy that charge against the argument of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Even many Catholics struggle with this. Jesus had an opportunity at the time to soften his stance, but he didn't. So how do Jesus' words challenge you today? Regarding the flesh and blood statement, do you believe it to be true? Most of us seem to believe the bread of life statement, for we consume the body of Christ readily. But some of us struggle in consuming the body of Christ because they have a disease which makes eating bread painful and dangerous. Those people do not partake in consuming the precious body. Those folks consume the precious blood only. Some of us, like myself, are allergic to alcohol, so we don't drink the precious blood at all. But some of us don't drink the precious blood for no apparently good reason, even to the point of ignoring it. And even people who are allergic to a specific species find a way to revere the precious body or blood. We don't ignore it. And what about his statement that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink? Here Jesus is telling us he is all we need. For early in this chapter, Jesus tells us, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Why do we struggle if we truly believe that the Son of Man will give us what we need? And finally, this whole idea of eternal life, also known as the kingdom of God. What are we doing to build up that kingdom today? Are we building up personal treasure for our own kingdom? Or are we focusing on the least of these, those who cannot do for themselves? You know, on a personal note, this whole chapter of chapter 6 in John, but specifically this Bread of Life discourse, you know, really woke me up to the power and the gift that Jesus has given us in the Eucharist. And I feel truly blessed to have been able to study this, you know, in the gospel ever more deeply during these two times when I've been given the homilies during chapter 6. So I'm blessed. And I think we're all blessed by this gift. May he be praised forever. Amen.